To Psalm chapter 3, I started my Bible reading over again. Last year I got through my Old Testament once, Psalms and Proverbs twice, and my New Testament three times. Now my goal is to at least do that, hopefully more. Now, I'm convicted more this year about memorizing more Scripture, committing more of it. And I went over that verse, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee," with the young people's Sunday school class, and Jamie always got it. When he came up, I said, "That's the memory verse." He just said it. I'm telling you, man, there is something powerful about the Word of God.
Amen.
And we need to pray that all of us will remember it and hide it in our hearts and walk with it every day. Well, today I knew I was going to preach on our ultimate glory in Christ. I started a sermon in December, "The Glory of God in Christ." That was the first message, the first thought. And we showed from the Bible how Christ communicates the glory, the excellence, the dignity, the majesty of God, His salvation, and His way. That's why Jesus is called the light of the world, because He manifests. That's why He's called the Word of God. He communicates the glory of God. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The second sermon, I'm just reviewing this for everybody else, Jerry. I know you remember it. The second sermon was why the natural man, the unsaved man, can't see the glory of God in Christ. Now remember, we looked at that verse in Isaiah 53, "To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" That implies that our sinful nature hides and blinds us from seeing the glory of God. And so we had to look at man's depravity. And it's the very reason why people just don't flock to Christ. They don't see their need. They don't see His glory. They don't understand where they're at as sinners. And the third message was on the transformative power of the glory of God in Christ. And I'm going to guarantee you something. If you have ever come to know Jesus Christ in a real and powerful way, your life will never be the same. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. To be a partaker of Christ, the glory of God, the Word of God, the light of God, is the single most important thing that could ever happen in your life, is to come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and to partake of His glory. But salvation's not all there is, right? Remember last Sunday, I preached on the transformative power of the glory of God in Christ in sanctification, by God working in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure, conforming us to what? To the image of Jesus Christ, the glory of God. See, this thing got a hold of me. I thought I was going to preach one or two sermons. But by the grace of God, if everything goes well, today is the final message on our ultimate glory in Christ. There's a lot to this, isn't there? Well, I went to bed last night thinking about it, and I woke up this morning, and I said, Lord, show me something this morning in my devotions just about the glory of God and how it affects us. And wouldn't you know, it's January 3rd. You know what I read every January 3rd? Psalm 3, Proverbs 3. Look at what this says in Psalm chapter 3 and verse 3. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. How powerful is that verse? The Lord's my shield. He's my protector. He protects me from the wrath of God. He's given me His righteousness. He's given me the whole armor of God that I may stand in the evil day against the wiles of the devil. He's my shield, my righteousness, my glory. If there is anything excellent, anything dignified, anything that is pure in my life, it's because He's my glory. It's because the glory of God in Christ has so thoroughly changed my life that I'm called His glory. God, when God looks at me, He doesn't look at me the way I used to be. He looks at me now through the righteousness and the glory of His Son, Jesus Christ. And so He can say, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He's my glory. He's the lifter up of mine head. He's the one that gives me encouragement when I get downcast, when I get troubled, when I get discouraged. He's the one who's my shield, the one who's my glory. He's the one that lifts me up and encourages me and enables me to press on. Well, Proverbs chapter 3. In verse 35, I think it's the last verse. Proverbs 3, and notice what it says. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Now, I'm not wise by nature. Christ, the wisdom of God, had to be revealed to me. And because of it, I've got something. I am an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. Do you understand the power of that? It means that the one who owns the heavens and the earth and everything therein is the one that's given me my inheritance. That's not going to last just till I die, but rather because of the one who is infinite and eternal is the one giving me this inheritance of glory. It's going to exist, and I'm going to exist with Him through the eternal ages, beyond the millennium. When God will make all things new and purge all the universe of anything that defileth. And there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. I'm still going to be beholding His glory throughout all eternity. Now that is pretty amazing. The glory of God in Christ, He is our ultimate glory. You see, one day, after a life of serving the Lord, of being sanctified by the Spirit, changed by the Word, abiding in Christ, walking in Him, crucifying the flesh, separating ourselves from that which is evil. A whole life spent as a Christian, being changed by the power of God, being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. At the last trump, this corruptible shall put on incorruption. This mortal shall put on immortality. How amazing is this? How powerful is God? I've spent an entire, I'm entering into my 36th year of being saved. And walking with the Lord and serving Him in and through His New Testament Baptist Church. And hopefully God is making that light shine brighter and brighter until the day of glory. But what I've spent an entire life dedicated unto, consecrated unto, aspiring and desiring to be more like the Savior in a twinkling of an eye. Not in the blink of an eye. Yeah, that's pretty quick. But in the twinkling of an eye, the power of God is going to completely strip away the old sinful fleshly nature that I've been plagued with my entire Christian life. That I've been plagued with my whole life. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, I'm going to be changed. You see, this earthly is going to finally bear the ultimate image of the heavenly. I'm going to enter into the fullness of this inheritance of glory. I am going to be glorified. I am going to be changed beyond my wildest expectations. In my mind, my heart, my will, my desires, my conscience, everything about me is going to be entirely conformed to the purity, the holiness, the glory of Jesus Christ. Man, is that amazing? And it's going to happen just like that. Well, less time than that. And it's not just going to happen to me. It's going to happen to all of God's elect. Do you see how powerful God is? How wondrous, how amazing His grace is that He is going to change us in such a miraculous way that we will never again have even a sinful thought. We'll never again say another sinful word. We'll never again do a sinful deed. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that glory. I am looking forward to the day when I am completely and forever done with this old sinful fleshly nature, where I've every day got to say, oh wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? One day, I am going to enter into the fullness of this inheritance of glory that God has promised me, that I am so unworthy of. To be forever done with sin. To never again be tempted by Satan. To never again have an evil thought. This is God's purpose. You see how spiritual this is? How different this is from the Muslim religion? What's the Muslim religion's form of the afterlife? Well, if you're a martyr, you get 72 virgins. What? Who came up with that? That is so completely, entirely contrary to God's Word, His purpose in transforming grace. And yet there are literally millions of people worldwide who are aspiring to obey the words of Muhammad the pervert, willing to die. Willing to die in order to advance their religion. And the sad thing is, if they die in their sins, they're going to go to hell. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Oh, how burdened we ought to be for people who are blinded by Satan and false religion, that God would open their eyes to see the glory of God in Christ, what forgiveness is, what grace is, what grace leads to. It changes you forever. I want to see Muslims saved. I want to see their hearts changed. I want to see them come to know the fullness of the glory of God in Christ. Because they're trapped. They're blinded. You know what? Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Do you realize that God's purpose of grace can never be thwarted? It can never be cast aside or done away with. Look at verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are thee called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. Now notice, the aim of predestination, to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's God's purpose. That He determined before the world began, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also... There's that word again. Glorified. We're going to inherit the glory of God according to the promise of God. And look what he says, he asks this question. What shall we then say to these things? How amazing is this grace that's going to conform us to the very image of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and that God's purpose in every aspect will always be fulfilled from what occurred before the world began to the day of our calling, our justification, and ultimately, our glorification. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? On down there it says in verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather that he's risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then he goes through every possible thing you can think of. As human beings, that you might conjure up in your imagination that could somehow separate us from the love of Christ. And and the glory of God. And he said, verse 37, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is what you have in Christ. And I can guarantee you, once His righteousness is imputed to you, it will never be abolished. It will never be taken away. His salvation is forever. Isaiah 51:6. I don't have time to read that today, but I love that verse. I want to preach on it right now. But I've got to get through this. This is God's purpose. Beloved, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is, and we shall be like Him. Everyone that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21 says, who shall change our vile body that it might be fashioned, that it may be fashioned like unto what? His glorious body. According to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. You see, one day, it could be today, I don't know. We don't know the day or the hour. But Jude says it this way, now unto Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory. He's going to keep me. And He's going to present me faultless before the presence of His glory. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. God is going to enable me to enjoy the fullness of this union that I have with Christ in glory. Up to this point in my life, it's all been positional and experimental. I'm one with Christ. I'm united to Him positionally. I'm in Christ from before the foundation of the world. I am experiencing this glory of communing with Christ. Remember last week when we looked at the verse that says that we're being changed from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord? That's what's taking place right now. I'm being changed each and every day by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God. And one day, the fullness of that union, when the manifestation of the sons of God in glory, I'm going to see Him as He is, and I'm going to be like Him. I'm going to take my place with all the redeemed of all ages. We'll be dressed in spotless white around the throne of God, singing, worthy is the Lamb that was slain, who has redeemed us to God by His blood out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. I'm going to be there. And every saint of God that you know that's gone on to be with the Lord, they're going to be there. They're going to be singing with glorified voices, lifting up their hearts and minds as we bask in the glory of our God. This ought to be so real to you. If you've tasted that the Lord is gracious, and you've tasted of His glory, there ought to be an anticipation, an anxious expectation of the hope you now have that will fully blossom in the standing before the glory, the majesty, the wonder of the One who loved you and gave Himself for you. The One who was willing to leave the glories of heaven to be born of a virgin, to walk among men, to live a perfect life, to die and to take the shame and the humiliation and the sin that we had upon Himself and put it all away on the cross and suffer in our stead and take all that sin to the grave and then raise again without sin. He did all of that so that you'll behold His glory throughout all eternity. Realize that this is what Jesus was praying about. Look over with me at John chapter 17. Look at verse 22. And the glory which Thou gavest Me, I have given them, that they may be one even as We are one. I in them and Thou in Me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that Thou hast sent Me and hast loved them as Thou hast loved Me. Father, I will that they also, here's My will, Father, whom Thou hast given Me, be with Me where I am, that they may behold My glory, which Thou hast given Me, for Thou lovest Me before the foundation of the world. This perfect union with Christ is going to result in us beholding His glory. All of us who are saved, who are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, changed by the power of the Holy Spirit, glorified, given a new body, having victory in Jesus, we're going to behold His glory. And in that day there'll be no more sorrow, no more pain, no more disease, no more treatments, no more worries or disappointments or troubles or heartache. Everything that this old world can bring upon us and the things that we bring upon ourselves that grieve us, all that sorrow is going to be forever put away. We're going to be one with God. One in mind, one in heart, one in purpose. We will enjoy throughout all eternity this purpose, this union, this being one with Christ. we'll be one with one another. Genuine, perfect harmony. Compatibility with God and His people through the eternal ages. Only God can do that. And this is, when you really get to get a grasp of what I've been preaching on, you will understand why it, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where it says, "He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." That's why when we are finally in the presence of God and we see the glory of Christ manifested to us and we see Him as He is, there will be nobody there boasting on themselves or their religion or their baptism or their good works or their free will or whatever else they, or their rosary beads or whatever people are trusting in. No one will be talking about any of that. He'll be saying, "Worthy is the Lamb." Nobody will be boasting in heaven. Everybody that's there is saved by grace through faith. All of our boasting, all of our glorying will be on the Lord. We'll be there in heaven in our glorified bodies, and after they sing the song of Moses and of the Lamb, Revelation 5:9, they said, "Thou hast made us kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Guess what's going to happen? The King of glory is going to inherit His throne of glory. He's going to live and reign upon the earth. We're going to do it right there with Him. He told the 12 apostles that they're going to sit on the 12 thrones judging Israel in glory. The millennium is going to be a glorious time, unsurpassed in any time in human history. And when that's over with, and we experience all that glory, when the glory of the Lord is going to cover the earth like the waters cover the sea, everywhere there's going to be praising and honoring and joy and worship for a thousand years on this earth. When that's all done, and the great white throne of judgment's over with, we're going to enter into another realm of this glory. We're going to think, "How can it get any better than this?" And we're going to see the glories of God manifested, and new things are going to be revealed, and we'll enjoy. You can read about it in Revelation 22. This is the ultimate transformation of the glory of God in Christ for His people. My heart's beating. I'm raising my blood pressure. Just thinking about it. Do you have this hope of glory? Does this appeal to you? If you're not saved here today, this is, you understand, this is why you can't do it yourself. Why the message is so simple, so plain. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Just look to Him, trust Him, believe on Him. And the fullness of what He promised will one day be yours. You'll enjoy it now. But one day, I'm going to behold and understand like I've never understood before. I've been reading my Bible for going on 36 years trying to uncover and seek for these hidden treasures. And one day, I'm going to behold His glory.
And it's all going to be revealed in a powerful way. Let's all stand.
Page number 8. Would you know one thing to God before? Page.